time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Was it the Cab Drive Time? Welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. If you've got something to say, that's where you can do it. The person says, I got the track. That is, no, that's in fact from some other time of the day. Let's go to matters at hand. In his Women's Day address to the nation, President Cyril Ramaphosa said that government had agreed on an action to speed up the process of giving women productive assets such as land. Ramaphosa said the National Strategic Plan aims to promote women's inclusion in the economy. These are all cliches. Online for analysis is Professor for the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies, PLAS for short, at the University of the Western Cape, Professor Ruth Hall. Welcome.
Thanks so much.
Okay, the statements that I've read out now, National Strategic Plan, promote women's inclusion, etc., they're all cliches, but do they have some meaning?
Well, you know, yeah, the cliches in that there's nothing to argue against in many respects. What the president said is, listen, we need to ensure that state procurement is going to women-owned businesses. We need to speed up the process, give women access to productive assets like land, ensure that people are safe from gender-based violence, etc. Now, I just want to focus in on this issue of land. It is what I work on. And
no, absolutely, yeah.
Here, What he's saying is that that we do need to focus on giving women access to land, and he's saying that of the relief fund, the COVID relief fund for farming input vouchers, there's 75 million now. There was actually 1 billion announced in April. He's saying that now for this next phase, which is much smaller, 53% of the beneficiaries must be rural women. Well, this is okay, but in the greater scheme of things, that's a small amount of money to be spread across a vast number of people. I think that a key issue to address here is if you really, really need to want to be dealing with the economic deprivation and marginalization of women, we need to be having mechanisms that reach vast numbers of women, not just have, you know, 75 million rand and half of it will go to a small number of women. Well, what we need is social protection measures. And increasingly, civil society organizations have been saying, you know, alongside all that you do, we need to ramp up social grants. The most gender equitable form of redistribution happening in this country right now is the child support grant. It's the grant that goes primarily to women and women-headed households to provide a basic floor of income. So lots of people are now saying, yes, land, absolutely we want land, but we also just want to have cash. And I think that the debate around the universal basic income grant is now what's gathering momentum. But on the issue of land, I also think that what we're seeing is around the cities, people can't afford food. People who can't afford to pay rent in backyard shacks are being evicted. Then they get evicted again when they go occupy open land by Metro and other authorities. And so people are demanding access to lands. So I would say that those two interventions, universal basic income grant, a big push around making access to money feasible for women who often stay in abusive relationships who don't have any financial independence. Social grants combined with decriminalizing land occupations and allowing people access to land for their own independent homes and for small-scale food production, these are two of the big areas that I think we should be thinking of. And I would have hoped that the president would go further in his statement.
It's always bewildered me somewhat why local authorities, governmental authorities, don't give people who really need land, and as you so correctly say, most, you know, women fall into under this category because a lot of households are headed by women in any case. Instead of like saying, all right, this land is now earmarked for development so nobody else can come onto it, and that land lies fallow for 10 years while they have court cases against people who need housing, why don't they give people a plot of land as opposed to saying we have to build you a house. Yeah. I mean, somewhere down the line, I've just got this gut feeling that the whole approach is wrong. I mean, what's your feeling on this in terms of our topic?
Well, you see, now, a lot of people say, oh, well, there's an ideological division between those who advocate the state must take a lead in development or the market must. The truth is that we have an economic paradigm in this country in which the state often defers to the market, privatizing public resources, etc., while also being highly bureaucratic and slow with these long processes. And what I've been hearing over the past few months, particularly over the past few weeks, is that people around the country are saying we need a rapid land release program in and around our cities. Land has always been seen as a rural agricultural thing. There are all these debates, who can use it well, etc. It's not been a program that can provide the kind of mass support needed in a society like ours, where, you know, we're well above, in real terms, 50% unemployment now. So I think that, you know, one of the proposals that we've been putting forward is that we need to have rapid land release plans for every town, every city. They must prioritize making available small parcels of land for people who don't have to prove that they're poor, but in areas and in communities that are poor, and provide people with basic support, fencing, water tanks, seeds, support for production, and make available public land for local informal markets where poor people who are getting grants from the state can sell and buy from one another and keep money circulating in rural areas, in these poorer communities. And you know what? Women organize themselves in stock sales and saving groups, and they actually cumulatively have a lot of spending power. Now, what if they, to cater for funerals and weddings, were buying from their own membership rather than buying from ShopRite always? So I think that we need to think much more creatively about how the land issue can be part of responding to the COVID crisis right now. It's got to be something that provides resources and supports for vast numbers of women who are in crisis.
Yeah, I mean, what you are saying makes so much sense. In fact, one thing you mentioned, so crucial, and this is something that I've seen on the beat, is that some local authorities will allow people to develop land, and I've seen it, some beautiful developments, but then they turn around, and here I can point at the city of Cape Town, they will not allow the people to fence off the land. It just doesn't make sense to me, as opposed to allowing the people to own that plot of land. I'm not a free market kind of person, but if you empower people, it gives them abilities to empower themselves. But it's somehow our local authorities, whether it's the city of Cape Town or Gauteng, wherever, they just don't seem to get it.
Now, I think that this question is actually a key one. We do have a system of municipal commonage. A lot of towns and cities already own a lot of property in and around their areas. I think that one approach is to say you keep that public, you manage it well. People can fence off, but you allocate them rights, but you don't have to subdivide and transfer title of each little plot. Because I think that the tendency of doing that is that once you start talking of titling, then we're talking about larger plots, then we're talking about people having to prove that they're going to be commercially viable. I'm talking about a mass program of giving people access to allotments. Now, this is an approach that was highly effective in Europe in the interwar and post-war years in the 20th century. This is about enabling people to have some cushion of their own production and to diversify livelihoods. And some of them may, over time, want to develop into larger enterprises. But I think that what we've seen right now is that we have an economy that cannot employ people. We have rural areas where people no longer are able to farm. Even if they do have access to land, they don't have capital and resources. They have to leave those areas and come to cities where there aren't jobs. So we're de-agrarian. We've deindustrialized, and we have an economic collapse on our hands. And now we have a food crisis, which is not going to be resolved by helping a small number of women to become commercial farmers. It's got to be an approach that that moves to scale and that provides economic resources for people, both cash and land and support to shift the food system. And I think that that's how we need to think about land now.
Do you think government understands this sufficiently? Because I get the impression that they don't.
Well, it's hard to say, like, which part of government. My worry is that the thinking around land tends to be segmented either into agriculture, which focuses on rural and particularly sort of how to commercialize rural farmers, or urban housing. And my feeling is we are in this, you know, we're in a rapidly urbanizing society. This crisis is hitting people across the board. Small-scale farmers in rural areas are struggling to sell their produce. They've lost their markets. They can't get to their markets. In urban areas, people are in crisis because they've lost their access to cash incomes in the informal economy that most poor people rely on. And yet, they still need to buy their food from formal retail, where, in fact, the prices have shot up so much since the beginning of lockdown. We found that in Pietermaritzburg, where there's one survey that's done monthly, the food basket had increased by 350 rand in the first 2 months of lockdown, which means those people who are getting that special COVID grant, it's not improving their livelihoods, it's going straight to the supermarkets. So, you know, we need to look at this thing in a much more connected way. I wonder what kind of platforms, I think that using the media, engaging, but it's about trying to draw those dots between the land question, the housing question, the food question, and the social grants question, because we have a crisis of livelihoods that I worry that no single ministry in government is connecting those dots.
Professor Ruth Hall at the University of the Western Cape in the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies, PLAS. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks so much.